Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. And if it's your first time, where have you been? Before we get to my guest, my one-man show on Broadway, Permission to Speak with Paul Mercurio, changing venues, starting this Wednesday, September 12th, we're doing an indefinite run at the Actors Temple Theater on West 47th Street in New York City. If you're in the New York City area, you live here, come. If not, make a trip, literally. Go right now to your boss, tell him you're leaving in a day to come see my show. If you don't, you'll be a big disappointment to me. Go to telecharge.com for tickets. Use the code PMFAN. That's Paul Mercurio Fan, PMFAN. You get 50% off half price the ticket because you're listening to this show and you're a fan and you're dedicated to me and the things that I do, as you should be. I don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, go to telecharge.com. Permission to Speak with Paul Mercurio. My one-man show that's audience interactive. People come up, they tell stories. We've been getting really fun, amazing, sometimes bizarre stories from people. Hope you can come, watch it, be part of it if you want to be, and we'll see you at the theater. So Burt Reynolds just passed away, and I've been seeing clips of him on, all the TV shows, retrospectives, and I thought, I haven't seen a lot of his movies. Some I have. Go to my cable system, I search and search, nothing there. Then it hits me. Go to deepdiscount.com. Yes, they're my sponsor. It's just a coincidence. Check out Deep Discount. It's a really great site. So I go, I check out Smokey and the Bandit. Good movie, holds up. Deliverance, great movie. And he's got a vest on the whole time, so you're seeing the guns and an adorable ass, by the way. Boogie Nights, which, by the way, I couldn't watch because I was up for the Mark Wahlberg lead part, but apparently I was too big. Anyway, that's a story for another day. So go to deepdiscount.com. They got great, great selection of old and new movies, TV shows. They've got great memorabilia, T-shirts, anything, you name it, they got it. Stop wasting time searching to find your favorites. Take charge. Go buy it. Go to my website, paulmercurio.com. Click on the logo, deepdiscount.com, and go there, and you'll get some amazing buys on amazing stuff, okay? They've also got new releases. Law and Order, True Crime, The Menendez Murders on DVD. Nationally televised murder case of the brothers who brutally killed their parents. It unveils the shocking truth of what really went down when the cameras stopped rolling. Get your copy for a great price at deepdiscount.com. Again, click on the logo on my website and check it out. Be good to yourself. Support my sponsor. Then you support me. I'm adorable. And I should have gotten Boogie Nights, but the thing. Check out deepdiscount.com. All right, my mother's 90. She won't wear a hearing aid. It whistles all the time. It's like talking to a tea kettle in a house dress. She doesn't wear the hearing aid, partly because she knows it annoys me that she doesn't wear it. So we're standing in a driveway. It's a stone driveway. And we're talking. And the hearing aid is small and gray, okay? She drops the hearing aid while she's talking to me in the driveway. She leans over, doesn't have her glasses on, to pick up the hearing aid. Instead, picks up a stone, sticks that in her ear. There you go. I just walked away. She got what she deserved. The chance of that happening? 2-1. How do I know that? I got those odds on BetDSI. They're my sponsor. Please listen up. They sponsor the show, which helps me bring you the show. I'd love it if you could give them a shot and check them out. They're fantastic, okay? Why did BetDSI give me odds on that? Because they give you odds on everything you could ever want or imagine. Yes, my mother sticking a stone in her ear, the NFL, the NCAA football season, MLB, NBA, UFC, you name it. They got odds on it. They'll put a line on it, okay? Look, football season's here. You want to double your money, guaranteed? Well, BetDSI is making that possible this football season when you register with the promo code PAUL100. That's right. To help you get started with some extra bang for your buck, BetDSI is offering to double your money on your first deposit. That's right. Deposit to start winning. Get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right now. Just use the promo code PAUL100, okay? And it's been online for 20 years. They have a really great mobile interface. You can play, win, and get paid anytime, anywhere. You know you're ready to win. Join BetDSI.com today using promo code PAUL100. Again, PAUL100. You're already won by doubling your bankroll straight away. That's promo code PAUL100. Don't stand on the sidelines this season or in a driveway, dropping your hearing aid and thinking it's a stone. Be in it to win it. Enjoy the games. Play at BetDSI. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. A very good friend of mine, a great comedian and someone who always has a project that is not just funny and entertaining, but has some meat to it and gravitas and is saying something. And not to overuse this word, a renaissance man in a lot of ways, and a very, very dear friend of mine, John Fugel, saying...
You're just saying that because I'm painting right now.
Exactly.
And I have plague.
With and with a beret on your head, by the way. Host of Tell Me Everything on Sirius XM, channel 121, which I've been on a bunch of times. Really fantastic show. It is a it's a throwback show in a lot of ways to talk shows that were... Very varied in terms of the subject matter. You know, you will talk on your show. It's politics. It's music. It's pop culture.
Yeah. When they asked me to come in, I had been offered radio shows before, but they were always like, you know, the political guy or the morning zoo guy, and it just didn't interest me. And this time, Pete Dominic,
which I always think is hilarious that they would try to plug you to the morning zoo guy.
Yeah. When I was starting out and I was doing VH1 as a VJ, they don't care. This guy on paper looks at a thing and says, "Oh, he can be, you know, Johnny and the Gator." Johnny and the Blurb, whatever they call the other guy. Johnny and the Stain, mornings on GX101. So they said, help us launch a channel. And I thought, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And I said, my format is no format. I will do this, but I have no attention span. So I will do a show if it can be like one third political talk. And we've had Bernie Sanders, Sheldon Whitehouse, Trent Lott has done the show. I said one third NPR style interview. Mm. So we've had... You know, Brian Wilson and Holly Hunter just did the show. Ed Harris, we get great artists and journalists and history writers and science tech people. And I said, in one third, I want to be early Howard Stern, where it's all just comedians riffing on headlines and cracking each other up.
Yeah.
Just all non sequiturs for an hour. And they said, okay. And it has been incredibly fun. And I learn a lot. And I get to hang out with people who are smarter and funnier than me all the time.
No, I don't know about the smarter and funnier part, but the show's at noon now.
We're noon Eastern time.
Yeah. Also, just... a really astute political commentator, had a show on TV, Current TV, which I went on several times. And I was so bummed out that that network didn't last and your show didn't last in that format, because I thought that it was a really fair show. Like, it was smart, but it, you know, you actually had this quote about television journalism, which is that, taking nothing away from TV journalists, but we've entered an era where TV news has become ever more ratings driven and possesses niche-based ideology. And your show, I think, did a really good job of not doing that. Like, in other words, you know, while you lean left, but you're willing to have a conversation in a rational, professional, way with someone on the other side of the issue, so that we're really sort of vetting these issues. And I just think it's so, we both go on these political shows on CNN, MSNBC, et cetera, all fine institutions, whatever, but Fox News, it's very fractured right now.
Yeah, I mean, I respect those shows. I enjoy watching you on CNN. I'll be in the studio sometime and there's Mercurio on screen. and I've had great times on CNN, on MSNBC, even on Fox.
Yeah.
Current was an interesting experiment. We thought it was going to be a real news channel.
Mm.
And I had just had this.
And for those who don't know, that was Al Gore's foray
into television. I won a couple of Emmys. And, you know, I had been a guest on several shows. I had guest hosted shows and I was doing mornings on CNN. I caused this Etch-a-Sketch kerfuffle for the Romney campaign a couple of years ago, where I asked a question that led to like the first big scandal of the Romney campaign. CNN was not happy, but Current, and I was on tour. They saw my tour. They offered me a job. My show never happened because as soon as I got hired, they sold the network. So I took over Keith Olbermann's time slot and staff for the last year.
Right.
And it was great because a lot of times when people say liberal or conservative, they really mean Democratic Party or Republican Party.
Mm.
I think there's four parties out there,
four
teams, four tribes.
And they are Republican, Democrat, Independent.
Well, no, Republican, Democrat. Well, okay, Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative, independent, which is nebulous, and apathetic, which actually won the last election. People forget. Apathy came in first, Hillary second, Trump third.
Well, it's funny because I wanted to ask you why you see, look, Trump is a great, you know, is a great target. He makes himself a great target. But I think on a larger scale, he's representative of something much bigger than himself. Oh, yeah. And he is the surrogate. He is a surrogate for, why do you think he got elected?
at this point in time? What is going on in the country? Who did he tap into?
Well, you make a lot of good points. I agree with you. I think that Trump's a symptom.
Yeah.
Not the problem. Mm-hmm. You know, Trump's not causing all this racism.
Right.
I always say America's like an old couch and Trump is just the black light. And, you know, people,
I love,
thinking,
you have great ways of like putting stuff like, oh, it, yeah, that,
like,
no,
how do we stop Trump? How do we stop Trump? And it's like, dude, it's not about Trump is the Death Star.
Yes.
Okay. After Luke destroyed the Death Star, there were still 9 more movies. So yeah. Trump's not the Empire. He's the Death Star.
Right.
And it's sort of, I mean, I run out of metaphors with this guy because what happened was, It's not the Republican Party. It is the Fox News Party. And Republicans are endangered species in the Republican Party.
I mean, you saw what Alex Jones did the other day, and thank God Twitter banned him. But this guy is just, and he knows that there are people that, when I was watching that, I was outraged and saddened at the same time. For people who don't know, Alex Jones basically went to the hearings in Washington regarding social media with the CEO of Twitter and Facebook, and then went roamed the halls with cameras and basically started berating anybody and anyone, even in his own party, including Marco Rubio.
And I'm watching. They're not in the same party.
Yeah, it's true.
Marco Rubio is in the 20th century Republican Party, exactly. And Alex Jones is in the Fox News Party. But
And so anyway. I watched it with outrage and disappointment because the outrage was just that he was doing it, and the disappointment and the fear and the fright was that there were a lot of people watching that who were saying, go Alex Jones, you know.
Oh,
I mean?
Many. Yeah. Quite a few. And the Democratic Party has not reached those people. One thing I will say for Senator Sanders is he could have reached those people. He had a message that could have hit those guys. Joe Biden, I think if I had to guess who would get the Democratic nomination tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I love doing political humor because, like I said before to you, I wanted to do something where my material would be dated in 2 weeks, I'd alienate half my potential audience, and I'd never be invited on any late night shows. So political comedy really spoke to me. But I would
but
say
you
they,
can't not do it. In other words, like we've known each other a long time, and you've said that over and over, and maybe I should just be more mainstream and I'll get blah, blah, blah.
And I do a lot of mainstream
but
stuff.
But I also think it would be, I think we would not be a better world if you didn't do it.
Well, my dad was a history teacher and I sucked at sports, so I'm still trying to win his love. But I would guess that the Democratic ticket, if I had to bet today, would be Biden, Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
Mainly because they'll say it's because Biden can speak to those blue collar, white working class males.
Right.
Better than Trump and with more authenticity than a millionaire at birth who has a golden toilet.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm the real estate, I'm the billionaire TV landlord, and I'm going to stick it to the man.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That, you know, I really think they'll nominate him because he'll be the best fundraiser.
Yeah.
And that's what drives it.
Why didn't you think Sanders' message didn't land? And
I think his message did land. I mean, if you look at the amount of
primaries he won, but it didn't land with.
Well, he didn't get the nomination, and I don't think a lot of people heard his message. I don't think I think that the Democrats are only going to win with big rock stars or with big ideas.
Hmm.
And if you don't have an Obama, and to a lesser extent to Bill Clinton.
But don't you think some of Sanders' ideas were pretty big? I mean, you know.
Yeah, that's why they
were. Universal health care.
I don't consider Sanders to be a rock star.
Right.
I consider his ideas to be big.
Mm.
And during the campaign, and again, the Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, East Coast, West Coast rap feud beef is going to get Trump reelected. It amazes me how many people who call themselves progressive who are still in these camps, the Hillary Bernie teams going, fuck you, because I only agree with you on 80% of the issues. So fuck you.
Yeah, exactly.
You ruined America and Trump's in office because of you. And right. I'm like, I'm on the side of any Bernie Hillary people who realize Bernie and Hillary are on the same side.
Right.
Like, you know,
yeah, but
purity tests ruin everything.
Right, right. But I'm not giving them a pass. That's going back to what we talked a few minutes ago. That's the environment that we're in now.
Yeah.
That's why your show is on Sirius and was on Current TV so valuable, because you can have a conversation and address both sides of the issue. But
because I'm not a Democrat.
We're 100%. But the point is, I think it goes beyond your ideology in terms of politics. We are either you're all in with me or you're dead to me. And that's the culture that we're in, both on the left and the right. And I don't know if does the pendulum swing back, or are we there forever now?
And I mean, you know,
in your opinion,
no artist is ever going to not disappoint you sometime. Mm. Springsteen's released a bad record.
Yeah.
You know, no lover is ever going to do everything you like.
Right.
No family member is ever, no human is ever going to check all the boxes on your purity test.
Right.
But we punish these politicians. And I always find myself saying, you know, to the Hillary people, look, if she had picked Bernie Sanders as a running mate, you would have had an incredible wave of enthusiasm mm-hmm. and big ideas. Because I thought all along, Hillary Clinton, in the summer of 2016, I was saying, just go big on three big ideas.
Yeah.
You ask a Trump supporter, what does he stand for? They'll tell you the wall, which is a racist lie. The Muslim ban, which is a racist lie.
Right.
Ask a Bernie supporter, they'll tell you three things. If Hillary had gone big on three issues, and for me, they would have been, because it's all designed to bring about real change and drive turnout. Medicare for all, like mm-hmm. open it up to whoever wants mm-hmm. it. Student loan debt forgiveness. Mm. Let's do a real bailout mm-hmm. because these millennials can't climb the economic ladder with 400 pounds of weights around their neck.
Right.
And why not get these millennials not paying banks for student loans and paying banks for houses right now?
Right.
A living wage workforce that can buy shit is what we need. And we're right. not going to get it for the next 20 years.
Right.
Anybody paying student loan debts knows what I'm talking. And third, decriminalize weed.
Yeah.
You want to get people to show up to vote?
Yeah.
Big ideas that are more and popular than both parties.
Yeah.
And then I'll say to the Bernie people, first off, if you're going to crap on me because I voted for Hillary Clinton, mm. you need to crap on Bernie first because I supported him until the day he told me to vote for her.
Mm.
I always planned it that way. Mm. I knew it was going to go that way. And Bernie Sanders gave her a hell of a speech. And Hillary Clinton, for whatever you don't like about her, got more votes for president than any white man or any orange man in the history of this country and was arguably the most qualified nominee since Jefferson. So to get back to your original point, why did she lose? Because people dislike her. Some people dislike her more than they like goodness. And Bill Clinton famously said people would rather vote for someone who is strong and wrong than weak and right.
Yeah.
I thought she did a lot better in the campaign than I expected. Her debate performance from 2008 to 2016 was astonishing how good she was. She mopped the floor with him in all three debates. Mm-hmm. But all he had to do was convince people that she was as shitty as him.
Well, and
46% stayed home.
Right. And also the problem is we live in sound bites. So, you know, that classic line, you'd be in jail, you know, that those moments.
Yeah.
That's what was played over and over again and ended up on the front page of Yahoo and how, you know, so in other words, I don't think that most Americans, and I don't want to sound, you know, sort of high and mighty, have the time and or patience or interest to really drill down on these debates.
No,
and
I agree. I don't think people pay
attention.
So
they get fed what sort of the media outlets want to feed them. And these are the gets back to the quote that I mentioned that, you know, when you play that soundbite of him saying that to her, that's good ratings for any network that's playing that. So it's a perfect storm of things that are not resulting in something that's not working right now.
I think America is becoming a reality show for millions called Food, Rent, Medicine, Pick Two. And if the American people paid attention and showed up to vote, that would not be the case. If the American people really paid attention and really showed up to vote and didn't vote based on personality, which is what they always do, you would not have a society where the leading cause of bankruptcy is inability to pay healthcare costs. None of our capitalist allies have these problems we have.
I mean, it's funny based on personality. There's this issue that's come up with this former cast member of Cosby, Jeffrey Owens, who—
It's a great story.
Great story, but again, sad for me because I think it's representative of where we are as a culture right now, and I think it ties to politics.
Where some of us are.
Some of us, yes. But a fair amount of us to the point where it has some weight. And unfortunately, so, you know, obviously he was working at Trader Joe's, his acting career had hit a wall. He was basically shamed. Some woman took pictures, posted it. People commented, made fun. Now a lot of
and
people
and one come, news outlet took it nationwide.
Yeah. And
that would be Fox.
Yeah. And basically the silver lining in this is the decency of people who have come to support him. Not just the average person, but people in Hollywood, and I understand he's being offered work now. But
he is. I mean, he's going to be the, like, everyone's going to want to hire him.
I want to find out. Tyler Perry.
Tyler Perry is casting him in Tyler Perry's unreleased new project, which means
Tyler
to me,
Perry.
Like, I'm calling my agent. How do I get a job bagging groceries in that Trader Joe's? Because I know there's an opening.
Prestige, you got to go a different way.
That's where the paparazzi are there, and they're casting now for a new bagger. So, like, you know, I need all the help I can get. But look at the you could be down about it and say, oh, look how shitty this is. We love putting people on pedestals and tearing them down. That's America's favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm at a point now where I think I'm a recovering cynic, and I think nihilism is a privilege. And I really believe that people want to be good. And I think that we want to feel like we're actually being good, and it's not all just this never-ending shittiness of everything. The backlash against the meanness of that was stronger than the meanness of that. All the faith I lost on election day was restored inaugural weekend in DC when I was at the Women's March. We were doing the Sexy Liberal Tour, and I went down there, and all my faith was restored when I took my preschooler to the anti-Muslim ban march in Battery Park. When I see the judicial branch giving us all a civics lesson and how the balance of power works. When I see TV news readers becoming actual journalists, when I see people I know who've never cared about politics who are suddenly getting engaged and learning what the emoluments clause is, anywhere you want to look for negativity, I'll find five things that are actually positive. Mm-hmm. And I believe in the American dream because of what I've seen from when I came to New York as a teenager at the beginning of AIDS activism. And how, you know, the most oppressed minority group, arguably, I only say that because, I mean, obviously African-Americans and indigenous people are far more historically oppressed, but gay people are the oppressed minority within every minority. And you could be fired in many states and still can for being gay. The 80s were just atrocious. 20,000 Americans had to die before Reagan mentioned the disease. But then they stopped asking for help and began demanding it. Straight allies came out. People came out of the closet. People organized. They had lots of protests that made me uncomfortable, and I was on their side. And we witnessed the swiftest advancement for human rights in the history of our species, so much so that it went from, you know, homophobic. We went from the Defense of Marriage Act to a sitting president endorsing marriage equality in less than 20 years. And it happened because of a plague. And that's why I do believe in the goodness of people, that we want to be good, but that sometimes we just need to be shown how. And sometimes you have to have that moment where you wake up and just say, oh my God, I'm a dick.
Yeah, I mean, I want to believe that, but as we go, going back to what the beginning of this conversation about what Trump just opened the door of that was locked, and people were sort of, and I don't mean this as a gay metaphor or whatever, but like, the racism in that those people that are out there have always been out there. He kind of gave them permission to come into the light.
I agree.
Right.
I agree.
And
it's a minority.
And I don't think when he goes away, hopefully soon or after 2020, when God forbid, those people don't go away. Maybe they slip back into the darkness, but they're always going to be there. Yeah. And the question is, you know, this almost gets back to Star Wars and good versus evil and what prevails, you know. And right now, you know, it's interesting because I don't know if this shaming thing with Jeffrey Owens would have happened if Trump weren't elected. I'm not blaming Trump, but there is an environment now of bashing and meanness that's very alarming to me, that I don't think just lives within the walls of politics.
No, it lives within all of our hearts. We all have the potential for that.
Right.
I mean, Trump is the human id set free.
Right.
And all of, if you had enough privilege to let your impulses guide you in everything you did and always be protected, first by money, then by fame and celebrity, and then by government. We've never seen this before in history.
Right.
The only person who could play him in a movie is Kevin Spacey.
Right.
You need an actor that good who's just instinctually loathsome despite his talent.
Right. Here's the thing about Trump that makes me very nervous. He's a great politician and he gets it. He did something about 4 or 5 months ago that will be one of the reasons he gets reelected if he does. He went to a rally, one of his big rallies, and he goes on stage and there's the flat screen TV, the large screens everywhere. And the cameras are on him and he can see himself. And I guess one of the cameras were from behind him and he looks up and first thing he says is, Look at that bald spot, folks. Trying everything I can do to cover
Did
that.
Did he say the word bald spot?
Yeah. And the place went crazy. And here's my point. He gets that
humanizes him.
And it, you know what? I'm not defending him in any way. It does humanize him. It makes him unlike any other politician who will never point out those foibles and failings or whatever. And so for a guy who's vain and is orange and his hair is whatever that is and everything else and the planes with the name everywhere, there's an ability to relate to the plumber, the carpenter, the blue collar man and woman that, you know, it makes him indestructible as a politician.
2 points I'll throw back at you because I agree with everything you said. Number one, if there's high turnout, he loses.
Why?
Because that's how it always is. Low turnout means the GOP wins. The GOP is smaller and they're contracting as a party because they're not the Republican Party anymore. I don't know what they stand for.
Do you think they're contracting or that's
the party is getting smaller and that's why they're going for all these racist voter ID laws and the gerrymandering. When there's high turnout, Democrats win. And I'm not a Democrat. I have a lot of problems with that party as well. Believe me. But we had 46% stay home on election day.
Right.
You know, Bill Clinton got in the office because Ross Perot was in there too. I mean, if there's high turnout, then you get change. Mm. If poor people vote, then you get change. If African-Americans vote, then you get change. We just saw African-American women send a pro-choice Democrat to Jeff Sessions' Senate seat in Alabama. Mm. High turnout produces change. We could fix this country if we showed up to vote. But also keep in mind that on policies, this is, except for the tariff war, this is in many ways Bush's third term.
Yeah.
Deregulation, more pollution. Mm-hmm. And again, make the rich richer, tax cuts for people that don't need the tax cuts, and then squeeze it at the bottom, which means you're going to have more poverty. Mm. And it means you're also going to have the same collapses that happened under Reagan Bush and that happened under W, because eventually there's just not that much money.
Right.
And all these unemployment numbers, great, but these are not middle class jobs. Mm. These are not gateways into the middle class. Some of them are, but a lot of them aren't. And you know, he lied about bringing manufacturing back.
Oh,
he lied about coal.
Wait, coal's not,
lied
coal
about
jobs aren't
infrastructure spending. And, you know, it's like once people realize they got suckered again, because the economy is going to turn down. Now, I hope it doesn't. I hope that sometime something is different this time.
Yeah.
You know, and if Bush had a war and that's how he got reelected.
Right.
Even though we didn't find the weapons of mass destruction. Yeah. Again, America, like he lied to you. There are no WMDs. Oh, I'll vote for him anyway.
Right. Well, because it's sort of, you know, politicians lie and this and, you know, people sort of give them that pass and, you know, it's
right,
funny
Bush wouldn't have been elected. Bush would not have been elected in 2008 at the end of it.
Right.
And again, when the economic numbers aren't going in Trump's favor, because what he's still doing is taking credit for a black man's job.
Right.
This may anger some of your listeners, but like Barack Obama cut the black and Hispanic unemployment rates in half. Mm. Under Trump, those trends continued and went down one more point.
Mm.
So Trump is taking credit for the lowest black unemployment rate in history.
Which is, yeah.
Like, and he's doing policies now that are going to make it harder for low-income people in the middle class, and the richer are getting rich again. So it's like, I get your point, and he could be reelected, especially because the Democrats have no rock stars, and that's why the Democrats need to go with big ideas, because big ideas get people off the couch and show up to vote.
Why do you think Hillary didn't choose Bernie as a running mate?
I don't think they like each other very much. And I don't think his agenda was the same as hers. And I think it was a big mistake.
And I think he's too principled to sort of, I think he bends a little bit but doesn't break. So I don't see him being willing, and to his credit, to radically change his own personal platform for her.
Maybe he wouldn't have had to change it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he would have been assassination insurance. Damn it, you got to have someone more liberal than you as the vice president. Why do you think Obama chose Biden?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Roosevelt with Henry Wallace. Yeah. You know, oh, you want to kill me? Here's what you get.
Yeah,
the guy that Fox News says I am.
You said this thing, which was really interesting. You said, years ago, I was called a liberal because I supported gay marriage and medical marijuana while opposing the Iraq invasion and Bush's economic plan. It turns out I was just prematurely mainstream. It's such a great line. See, do you... Do you feel like that's because sort of, even though they're the smaller party, that the GOP or the conservatives or Republicans, whatever you want to call them, have sort of taken over the mainstream right now?
Well, the status quo has always been the status quo. America was founded by wealthy, landowning white males who thought only they should be allowed to vote.
Right.
I don't buy the liberal conservative thing. I think most of us are conservative in some ways and progressive in other ways. There's times in life when you have to be conservative, and there's times in life when you know you should be progressive and move forward. These are tribe names now. I mean, I think it's never been conservative versus liberal. It's always been aristocracy versus democracy. And the status quo has always tried to make it as...
You think it's been rich versus poor?
Yeah, to some extent. Mm-hmm. And the status quo has always tried to make it hard for democracy to flourish, not letting women vote, not letting black people vote, not letting indigenous people vote, the voter ID laws. I mean, all the gerrymandering, they do whatever they can do. Mm. And that's the brilliance and sophistication of the Russian campaign, you know, going to swing counties in Wisconsin and doing, you can still do a mail-in ballot for Bernie in swing counties. Mm. Putin's brilliant. Mm. Jill Stein ads in swing counties in Michigan and Florida. It's brilliant. Mm. Putin spent less on hacking the election than we spend on one fighter jet.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
It's like you know, there's Putin's in the 21st century. He's doing it. And so I kind of feel like this has always been the struggle. It's aristocracy versus democracy. They don't want us voting. Mm. They don't want us controlling it because they don't want us to redistribute wealth. That's their job.
Right.
So it's like, it's hard for me because I don't really care about political names. Like my parents were very Christian people. And by that, I don't mean they screamed at women outside clinics. I mean, they actually went with the teachings of Jesus.
Right.
And the nice thing about morality is if you follow it, it kind of makes the world better for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And if you follow the teachings of Christ, whether you believe in him as a magical being or a literary figure or historical or a myth or whatever he is to
right.
you, but if you follow the actual teachings
right.
and take care of the least among us, the economy does better for everyone. And the super rich will still be super rich.
You talk about religion in your family. I mean, your mother's a former nun, right?
Yes, yeah.
And why did she leave the nunnery? And what kind of impact? First of all, I don't know if this is online, but your last show, which Current TV, which I was honored to be on, you had one of the best monologues about religion and the Bible. Whenever John speaks of religion, he's so good. Why did your mother leave the nunnery, and what sort of impact has religion had on you now? And as a father, what sort of impact does it have on you?
Well, first, thanks for coming on my last show on Current.
Oh,
it was quite a guest. My last show, my guests were, I had the daughter of the Newtown principal who was killed.
Oh, right.
And then it was you, Liz Winstead, Taylor Negron, Roseanne Barr, Before the Fall, and Lewis Black. So it was a really special time.
Yeah.
I talk about religion quite a bit because I don't hear anyone else expressing the things that are in my head.
Mm.
So,
because when you do it, it's not in a pedantic way, but you do sort of try to re-educate people and because again, people use religion as a tool, a manipulative tool at times for their own agendas and their own political agendas.
I don't talk about religion either.
Right.
Like I try to talk about what's actually in the Bible
right.
versus what Jesus's unauthorized fan clubs claim is in the Bible.
Right.
And you know, the greatest thing about right-wing religion is that they have managed in this country to get followers of Christ to vote against everything Christ talked about by talking about abortion, which Christ never talked about.
Right.
The Bible's not against abortion.
Right.
The Bible's not, you can't use the Bible to say that same-sex relationships are wrong.
Right.
I choose my words carefully.
Mm-hmm.
Bible's not against birth control. Bible is not in favor of making the rich richer, cutting taxes for the wealthiest Nazarenes and asking lepers for co-pays are not what Jesus was about. So, to me, it's like I watch these Democrats and they're like a pinata. They're like Clark Kent without a phone booth. They're just like an S&M slave who forgot the safe word, just getting punched and punched and pummeled. So I'm like, you know, why has the Democratic Party, why has the left ceded the flag and the Bible to the right?
Yeah.
Why have you ceded Jesus? You can talk about Jesus without alienating people, because the atheists, good atheists, have more in common with good Christians than good Christians have in common with fundamentalist Christians.
Right, right, right.
And
why do you think they've ceded that ground?
Because the status quo is so organized. And the status quo in this country is government and religion, and they have an alliance. Mm. And, you know, we could talk all day about demonizing the poor, but that's what they do.
Yeah.
I mean, look at how unchristian the entire Trump regime is, right? Jesus, again, real figure, son of God, myth, whatever, whatever you believe, just going by what's in the book. Jesus is this guy who so stands up for the marginalized, whether you're the poorest of the poor, the lepers, literally, prostitutes, tax collectors,
right,
despised foreigners with strange religions like Samaritans, even the occupying Roman army in his own land.
Right.
It's like, you hate the Romans, you hate the centurions. Well, fuck y'all. I'm going to heal this guy's, you know, servant. He asked me to heal. Jesus always stands up for whoever is hated and despised.
Right.
What we have now, and what these so-called Christians are enabling, and I consider them evangelical supremacists. Many of them are very good people, but they do not follow the teachings of Jesus in the voting booth. They seem to think that giving money to my church so people can stand outside clinics and yell at women is...
Well, look at Roy Moore. I mean, Roy Moore is basically a, you know, essentially a pedophile. I mean, who gets banned from a mall? I mean, that's a great undertaking in and of itself.
I come from Long Island, man. It's hard to get banned from a mall.
Exactly. And sort of like, and people, especially evangelicals, and I will target specific people in this comment, were fine with him continuing in his role as long as he fulfilled their agenda.
Same with Trump. It's all about power. And it's all about, they keep thinking it's okay as long as we get abortion made.
Well, you know, the problem is,
they're single issue voters on abortion.
I call it selective religionism, right? In other words, sort of like, we'll pick and choose when we want to be very religious and very Bible thumping. And then when we need to ignore a couple of things because, you know, priests are abusing boys or this guy's hanging out at malls, or even, then we'll gloss over that. Yeah. And you know, and they get a pass. Somehow it works for a lot.
Because they think, well, they have two reasons for that. They think either God is sending an imperfect vessel to deliver his message,
right,
which is a theme throughout the Bible.
Right.
Or they think it's okay to go with fucking Caligula Kardashian as president because he's going to make abortion legal, and abortion's what it's all about.
Right.
Jesus never mentions abortion.
Right.
The Bible's not against abortion. God gives Moses detailed and gruesome abortion tips. If your wife is pregnant with another man's kid in Book of Numbers,
right,
they don't talk about that. God killed every fetus on earth with a flood one day, if you believe that story literally. And if God didn't like dead kids, we wouldn't have Passover. So put that shit away. Jesus stood up for the marginalized. Who do they shit on?
Mm-hmm.
The marginalized. Who does Trump shit on? Those who need help the most? No, that's who he disparages. Undocumented immigrants, migrant families, foreigners in a minority religion trying to come here, refugees from a war, transgender kids or transgender people who want to serve in our military, the poorest of the poor, whoever is struggling, whoever is down. Donald Trump is appealing to that dark part that's in all of our hearts. And it is like the dark side because it's quicker and easier and it's lazy and it's disgustingly immoral. But saying, fuck those people, really, fuck those people. Come on, we're the good people.
Right.
We're the good people.
Right.
Every president comes out there and says, appeals to the better angels of our nature. Even the Bushes, appeals to the better angels of our nature. Trump comes out and says, guess what, folks? I'm a big fucking asshole and you can be too, and that's okay.
Yeah, but see,
he doesn't give them hope. He gives them validation.
Right, but this gets back to the thing about Jeffrey Owens and celebrity and winning.
Yes.
It's when winning in a society is the most important thing. Going back to Roy Moore, there's a thread through all of this, which is that as long as we win, our moral beliefs at times can go out the window. Our personal beliefs
earthly
can go
power,
out the window.
Yeah.
Yeah, the way we treat others, the way we... And listen, we're both raising kids, you know?
Yeah.
And there's, we can sit home all day and all night and tell them, you know, live your life a certain way, be a good person, don't necessarily just value winning, but then they are bombarded, especially with social media, with winning is the number one. And... And I don't know if that ever goes away. Now, I may be maybe more pessimistic, with more of a pessimist about sort of where we are in our society than you are, which is ironic because, you know, we both can be pretty cynical, but I don't know how that goes away.
Well, I mean, it depends on where the culture goes, I guess. And right. Again, for all the areas where we are getting shittier, and we are, there are so many areas where we're getting better. And there's a lot that these guys can never do. They're never going to ban gay marriage. Right. They're not going to make green energy smaller.
Right.
They're not going to take us back from digital to analog.
They're just going to make it difficult to get there, but they're not going to kill it. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like I always talk about this, like in the horror movies, there's always the scene where it's the climax of the film and they kill the monster and everyone relaxes. And then the monster rises one last time.
Right.
And maybe Ann Archer steps into the bathroom with a gun and kills Glenn Close. And like there's... Right? The monster always has one last surprise.
Exactly.
So at times I look on Trump as the ugliest, darkest, most selfish, corrosive parts of the 20th century having one last gasp.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he's so 20th century all the way. And I'm not saying his supporters are racist, but I'm saying racism wasn't a deal breaker. You bring up kids. Like, how do you tell your kids, respect women, do your homework, don't lie, don't be racist,
right.
Be nice to people,
right.
And then see the exact opposite,
right.
Achieving such success.
Right.
I think we have to change the terms of what winning is. I was having a fight with someone I loved a lot once, and I said, you're just trying to win. And they said, well, of course, we're all trying to win. I'm like, well, I win when this fight is over.
Yeah.
I win when we're not having this bullshit anymore. That's what winning looks like to me.
Yeah.
So how do we get there? What does winning look like? Does winning mean you have the illusion of earthly power?
Mm.
You know, I don't think Fox News wanted Donald Trump to be president.
No.
Hillary Clinton as president would have been an ATM for Fox News.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the money these guys would be making?
Yeah.
Instead, they've all got to run around obstructing justice and defending, you know, a sexual predator.
And look what it's done for MSNBC. Yeah,
exactly. And this is the best. I was having lunch with Phil Griffin in 2014.
President of MSNBC.
And he and I agreed the best thing that could happen for MSNBC would be President Ted Cruz. We both agreed for that, you know, and obviously it was something even better for MSNBC. So who's winning?
Yeah.
Is Trump winning? Well, if he goes down in disgrace, his name's being taken off buildings. Mm. Well, he's making a lot of money though. Yeah, but that's corrupt. You know, I mean, Trump will go down in the history books. I mean, Jeb Bush's friends can't make them all in Texas, right?
He'll
go down in the history books as what he is. I want Trump to live long enough to see some grandchildren change their last names. Like, what does winning look like? There's no absolute valued logic. You know what I'm saying? And every positive win has a negative repercussion.
Right,
like, we ended slavery, but got Jim Crow. So we got civil rights, but then that led to the drug war and the Southern Solution. So then we got the first black president, but then that led to, you know, this racist clown. So
right.
It's like, I take a big step back from all of this and look at historical trends.
Mm.
I don't see us getting better economically.
Mm.
I think it's going to have to get worse before it gets better.
Mm-hmm.
But
do we need to get better economically?
Yeah, we do.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at, I mean, that's why Bernie Sanders was so popular.
Right.
Bernie Sanders was ideas.
Right.
But I look at how far gay people have come.
Yeah.
And it convinces me that people aren't just, that people want to be good.
Right.
They want to be decent and they don't want to be dicks.
Right.
But sometimes it takes a long time culturally.
Yeah.
But, you know, from AIDS to marriage equality was a lot. That was a much faster change than anything African-Americans have ever experienced.
Yeah, it was faster than I thought. I just thought that the whole society was going to go kicking and screaming. But it, and to a certain extent, it has. But I agree
and
with you.
Artists led the way.
Yes. Yeah. So as a child growing up and religion, obviously being in a, I just wanted you to address that question about your mom.
Oh,
and
I'm sorry. Yeah.
No. This is
tangent nirvana.
Yeah.
Mr. Mercurio.
This is, I love it.
That's... So my mom, she came from the South, the segregated South.
Mm-hmm.
Her dad was an interesting character. Very racist.
Mm.
My mother went into the convent as soon as she graduated high school.
Because she knew that the environment that she was in wasn't right for her, even at that age.
My brothers and I have long wondered what was the inciting incident that drove my mother into the convent right out of high school.
Yeah.
They made her take her vows. She changed her name. She went to a nursing school. And, you know, for many years in Europe, medieval Europe, the only way you could change your life like what amazed de Tocqueville when he came here in 1831 and wrote Democracy in America, that you had upward mobility. Because for years, the only way you could change your life was to join the clergy. It was the only way a poor born person could one day consort with the rich.
Right.
The convent put my mother through nursing school, sent her off to Africa to work with lepers. Mm. My dad was in love with her for 10 years. She finally left because her father died. After her father was dead, she was ready to come out of the convent. My dad proposed to her, and she got married. And I was never told she had been a nun. I was 6 years old at my grandma's house down south, and she's showing me all these family pictures in a shoebox, and my mom's dressed really differently than everyone else.
What was your dad before he
My dad was a Franciscan brother.
Right.
Yeah, so he had taken the same vows as well.
So they... That's fascinating. So how did they find, they found each other through religion, obviously?
Yeah, they did. I mean, I had a really weird childhood that makes me very comfortable with chaos and contradiction because my parents both took vows of celibacy. And then my mom was briefly transferred to Holy Family Hospital in Brooklyn. Hmm. Before she went to Africa, she came to Brooklyn. And my dad was a young man with TB. And he came into the hospital for his treatment, and he fell madly in love with this nun.
Wow.
And could never tell her, this quiet Southern girl.
Yeah.
He could never tell anyone.
Yeah.
So they became pen pals for 10 years. She was in Africa. He did tell her he was in love with her at one point, and she threw him out of the hospital several years later. So because of religion, you know, they both took vows of celibacy.
Yeah.
So because of religion, I'm not supposed to be here.
Right.
But because of religion, I get to be here.
So how does that impact you in terms of how you view religion? Because you did say this thing that I think was really fascinating. I think a lot of times the mistake we make is confusing God and religion.
Yes.
Religion and thinking that they're the same thing.
Yeah.
Explain what that means. And then also, if you can, going through such a tumultuous way of coming into this world with the parents and their background, like, what impact has that had on you in your view of religion and its place?
Well, one of my first broadcasting jobs was at VH1 when they were still a music channel. And one time they used to send me down to Memphis for Elvis Week in the summer. And I was never an Elvis fan, but I learned a lot about the cult of Elvis. Mm. And one time I got to go to the International Elvis Presley Fan Club President's Luncheon, where every president of every Elvis fan club around the world came together to have lunch.
Wow.
You have never seen such a collection of hefty men who could do Elvis cosplay, and they all had wives who looked like hot, young, goth, brunette Priscilla from the 60s.
Really?
And I thought, wow. There's something here.
Yeah.
This is not Elvis. This is Elvis fan clubs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And religion is not Jesus. It is Jesus fan clubs.
Yeah.
And in both cases, some of the fan clubs scare me.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, Democrats could win on the Bible. The problem is Jesus was so radical, the government fucking killed him.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus is so radical today.
Yeah.
Jesus is against public prayer.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus is not a pro-family kind of
it's
guy.
It's kind of ironic that the guy that was supposed to bring everybody together is being used by people to be very divisive.
That's why I'm comfortable with chaos. It's like, I get it. I get contradiction. Jesus was not about sin and condemnation. Mm. He was about love, and his hang up, he's never bothered by sin.
Right.
It's always hypocrisy.
Right.
Always hypocrisy is what pisses off Jesus. Exploitation of the poor, or these religious bosses, these conservative religious Pharisees who talk the letter of the law, but not the spirit of the law. And there's a great story where they come up to Jesus and they say, hey man, your followers, your apostles, they were like working on the Sabbath. You get death penalty for that. And Jesus turns around and goes, oh really? Do you stone your kids to death?
Yeah.
And they're disrespectful because Leviticus calls for that too.
Yeah.
Jesus literally throws the Bible in the face of the religious bosses.
Right.
These are the stories they don't teach you in Sunday school.
Yeah. And why do you think they don't?
Because Jesus is an anti-authoritarian figure and religion is based on authority.
Mm.
And both the Catholic Church and the Republican Party are amazing because they were both, in both cases, the guy, they were found, like Lincoln had his organization taken over by the people who killed him, conservative, racist, white Southerners.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus had his organization taken over by the Romans,
right,
who killed him.
Right.
It's like eventually you realize, well, we fucked up killing that guy. Let's co-opt the movement.
What did your parents, in terms of your upbringing in, vis-a-vis religion then, what was their approach with you? Because you seem to have a very healthy view of religion. You respect it. You don't bow to it. I mean, no? Well, go ahead. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
I don't view religion as inherently evil. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people make a big mistake doing that. The Dalai Lama says, you know, religion is what you do to control yourself, not to judge others. Mm. And I do think that a lot of good has come of religion. And I say this all the time with the Catholic Church. I'll talk the pedophilia all day. I'll talk the sex hangups, the sexism, the birth control bullshit. But the Catholic Church is about keeping their numbers up.
Yeah.
But the Catholic Church is the greatest voice in the world against poverty. They are the greatest voice in the world for universal healthcare. Mm. They're the greatest voice in the world against the death penalty. In many areas, they got it right. And if they wanted to save that organization, they would get off all the sex hangup stuff, which is all St. Paul, not Jesus. Jesus had not a fan of adultery, but he forgave everybody. Mm. But other than that, Jesus was not the sex hangup guy.
Right.
That's all Paul and Leviticus,
right.
And Deuteronomy a bit. So like, I feel that religion is great if it gives you community, if it gives you a sense of purpose, if it helps you be a better person, then it's great. Mm. As soon as your religion starts instructing you how to judge people, then we're over. Then we're done.
Right.
And, you know, abortion has been the most brilliant issue because, again, it gets people to completely reject Jesus to talk about this one thing. And the Democrats blow it on abortion. They blow it on religion. They could win this argument tomorrow. Mm. I mean, you're never going to end abortion.
Right.
It's always been around.
Right.
It's in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's always going to be around.
Yeah.
So the best you can do is end safe, legal, regulated ones.
Right.
So you're creating jobs for new Dr. Kermit Gosnells.
Right.
You are fighting for women to be incarcerated. And I've only seen one Democrat ask one Republican ever, and it was Chris Matthews to Donald Trump. Like, what's the punishment going to be?
Yeah.
Because you're going to criminalize it. Right. It's, you know, like, you're putting women in cages.
Yeah.
And very few Democrats ever pick this up. They play defense all the time. They say, well, I'm against it personally in my faith, but on the
government. Why do you think this is, though? Why do you think that they can't be more on the offense?
Because they're scared, because nobody knows what's in the Bible, because 77% of us believe in abortion rights, but 46% of us stay home on election day.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's so many reasons for it. And again, it's going to take what I call 1 degree of empathy. You know, like Rob Portman, the senator from Ohio who wrote the Defense of Marriage Act, and was always so homophobic until the day his son came out as gay.
Mm. Right.
Oops, I'm not a homophobe anymore.
Right.
1 degree of empathy.
Right.
One thing I'll say about liberals that unites them, I think, is that liberals have an easier time as a group caring about people they don't know.
Mm.
So Rob Portman, well, my son's gay. Okay. Then so I want his son to come out as poor one day. But like... I feel with guns, like, is everyone going to have to know somebody who gets shot by an AR-15?
Right.
Is everyone going to have to know a woman who dies of a botched abortion?
Right.
But abortion is a great, great tool for votes and money.
Yeah.
So our grandkids are going to be fighting about abortion in this country. It's never going to go away.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Democrats can say, like, you can be, you know, I'm not pro-abortion. I'm pro men not making that choice for a woman. There's so many ways that they can do it. And they shouldn't be afraid to go to the Bible, but Jesus is specifically against the death penalty more than once.
Yeah.
Overturns an eye for an eye in the Sermon on the Mount.
Right.
Never mentions abortion.
Right.
You know.
It's, and you're right about people just not even talking as though they know the Bible, but not really knowing much at all about it is a very, very common thing right now.
But that's, you know, when religion drives us to be more loving and caring and empathetic, that's its purpose.
Right.
When religion gives us cover to be shitty people,
right?
I put up a tree in my house once a year, and I give money to my church to fight abortion, so I'm a good person.
Right.
And abortion is the laziest. Anti-abortionism is the laziest form of Christianity in the world.
Yeah.
I'll vote for a guy who wants to hurt marginalized poor people, grabs women by the pussy without consent, lies on a scale we've never seen. This administration is already more corrupt than Nixon and Warren Harding combined.
Yeah.
Never seen corruption like this, ever. I mean, fucking golf carts. He's making six figures off of renting golf carts, the Secret Service, to guard his life. Give him the fucking golf cart. Why is Mar-a-Lago charging the Secret Service for a fucking golf cart? They're electric. Let him ride the fucking golf cart. Nope. Trump wants money. The Secret Service moved out of Trump Tower, and they finally put a trailer on this on Fifth Avenue because Trump jacked the rent up.
Yeah.
He's getting rich off of it.
Well, Trump's stakes failed, so he's got to make up the revenue somehow.
Seriously, it's all a racket.
Yeah, it is.
And I don't know if we're ever going to have a Truth and Reconciliation Committee over this.
Yeah, I don't know that that's necessarily Trump specific, though. I mean, politics has always been a money racket, you know?
Yeah, but on the presidential level, he made money. He profited off the campaign. Mm. We've never seen that before.
Yeah.
No one's ever made money off of a campaign before.
And done it sort of in a very bald-faced way. I know you got to go and do your show. We got to do another one of these because there's like so much stuff we haven't even
talked
about. It's
so much fun to talk with you,
Paul.
This
is like gone by 5 minutes.
It's so nice because like I love your interviewing style and I love hearing you talk to people because you always play to the top of your intelligence. And a lot of times I'll do podcasts and they'll just be like, so tell me the George Harrison story or something like that.
But that's a whole other conversation. I mean, John's love of music and knowledge of music is, you know, on par with his knowledge and love.
I'd love
of politics
to come bore your listeners with a whole different style of conversation.
No. And I want to talk more about your parents and that whole chaos thing. It's really fascinating. A sexy liberal tour. Tell people
about
that.
So I do a lot of tours and a lot of events coming up. I'm going to be doing a show called The Magnificent Bastards with Louis Black and Alan Zweibel and Susie Essman.
Oh, that's fun.
We're going to definitely do the Paley Center here in New York and at the 92nd Street Y. The Sexy Liberal Tour is something I've done with Stephanie Miller for a few years. It's really fun. We've done it in the past with like Aisha Tyler and Hal Sparks and people from Lily Tomlin to Nancy Pelosi.
Does Hal Sparks talk politics?
Yeah, he does. His act is very political. Mm-hmm. Lily Tomlin's come on stage with us several times on the tour. Mm. So we're doing 3 dates this fall.
Okay.
The Blue Wave Tour, only 3 shows, but they'll be really fun, kicking off Saturday, the 22nd of May at the Harmon Center in DC. That's right next to the Sprint Center with Stephanie Miller, me, Daryl Hammond, who's never done the show before, and awesome. He's the best impressionist in the world, and special guest Malcolm Nance, I love, and then some other people to be announced. The 27th.
So you'll do like a Q&A with Malcolm?
We come out, and Stephanie MCs it. I do like half an hour. Daryl does half an hour, and then we all do a panel together. Then we bring Malcolm out, and there'll be other guests on that show we can't announce yet.
That's great.
And then August 27th at the Athenaeum Theater in Chicago with Stephanie, myself, Margaret Cho, and our guest, Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky, who I really admire. And then November 3rd, the Saturday before Election Day, at the Saban Theater in Los Angeles. That's where Bieber goes to church. And that's going to be with Margaret Cho, Stephanie Miller, me, and our guests will include Congressman Ted Lieu, Congressman Adam Schiff, and Rob Reiner. It's going to be a big party. So go to sexyliberal.com to get tickets. One East, one West, one Midwest. We hope people will turn out. And the only cause for this is the midterms and getting people psyched to go vote and tell people to go vote.
Please go vote. And Tell Me Everything is on Sirius XM. It's now noon Eastern time is new time for you. And you must listen to that. It's probably the best, one of the best or the best radio show out there right now.
You are very kind.
No, I mean it because of what I said at the beginning, and I'm always right, which is that it's a very eclectic, intelligent, and entertaining show. And it's so representative of who you are as a performer and a person, and just a great, you're just a great guy too.
Well, thank you.
And he's very supportive of his friends and people he believes in. So
Paul, I'm just doing this for free tickets to your Broadway show.
No, I can't. I can't afford that. You have to pay. You have to pay premium prices.
We're done then. You clean this up, this ending any way you want.
Right, kiss my ass, John Fugel saying. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Paul. What a pleasure.
All right, that's my buddy John Fugel saying. We're going to have another conversation with him. He's got so many interesting things to say and really funny. I'm just a big fan of his. Obviously, he's a good friend as well. And hope you enjoyed it. And I hope you can check out my one-man show on Broadway starting this Wednesday, September 12th. And it's going to be an indefinite run at the Actors Temple Theater. We're continuing the run. It's been getting a lot of good feedback and been getting a lot of really great people coming up and telling stories. It's not a stand-up show. Go to telecharge.com for tickets. Use the code PMFAN and you get 50% off. Hope to see you there. And thanks for checking out the podcast, everybody.